Okay, with Michael J.S. Carter with us as we talk about his work, Alien Scriptures, we're going to come back. We're going to take your calls here on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back, Michael J.S. Carter with us. Of course, Michael, the book, of course, Alien Scriptures, where do you get it?
Oh, thanks, George. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it as a paperback or Kindle. You can get it on Barnes & Noble, a paperback or Nook. You may go to my website, which is MichaelJSCarter.com. It's a blog there. You can write me. It's published by Grave Distractions Publication, Brian Kennard, and my publicist, Mark Eddy. I want to thank them both for helping me get this message out. But that's where you can buy it.
And this message, of course, continues to, I think, get bigger and bigger and bigger. Will we ever get to the time in our lifetime that we get these answers?
I think we will, George, and I'll tell you why. And people like you who are questioning people to stretch their minds, and once, I forget who said it, but once your mind is stretched, it's hard for it to go back to where it is. People who are doing this kind of work, I think we will. I mean, you know, there'll also be questions that the next generation will have to, wrestle with. But you're laying the groundwork for that. I'm laying the groundwork for that. And that has to be good enough. And I think we will get some of those answers as we mature as individuals and as a species.
How do you feel personally knowing that this planet was visited and continues to be?
Well, it was overwhelming. And for me, again, George, remember, you know, I am a contactee, and I know it's such a 50s term, an experiencer, call it what you will. And it was just overwhelming for me at first. And I had to, and this is my experience, I can't speak for everybody who's had it, I had to find a way to incorporate that into my life. I have to get up this morning and I have to be at the church. I have a wife. I have a family. And so one of the reasons I left my support group, and they saved my life in many ways, my sanity, but I realized that some people were stuck. And there's some people that I cannot talk to about this subject.
No.
I mean, I can talk to them about it, but they can't talk about anything else. It's almost like a narcissism. It's almost like being so self-absorbed. And the whole point of it is, for me, is to grow and evolve and to go out and, again, learn to love. The beings that came to me, I just want to say it one more time, they're here for, at least from what I was told in my own experience, for evolution, to help us grow up, to help us live life less fearfully, those kinds of things. I'm not saying that's with everybody, so you don't want to be naive, but that was part of the component for me. But it is overwhelming, but I feel joy. I feel that, I'm a diversity consultant, and so for me, this is just one more step in my on my path, because we want to talk about the diversity of life here on Earth. Well, now it's even greater. And so how do we interact? How do we cooperate, negotiate, navigate a universe that is teeming with life?
It's even your evolution, isn't it?
It is. It is about personal evolution. I would say that, George, it's a wonderful statement you just made. I would say that whether I had contacts or not, you get up in the morning, you live, you learn, you love, you screw up, and if you're lucky, you get a chance to do it again the next day.
That's
what it's about. You have to make amends sometimes. You screw over people. But whether it's not even about ETs in some ways, it's about how are we evolving. Because you know what? With the crisis in Ukraine, of course, there's always the thing in the Middle East. I mean, we could get apocryphal really quickly with just a few events. I mean, things can get out of hand really quickly because, you know, we fight too much.
Yeah, we sure do. We sure do.
You know?
Let's take some calls here for you.
Sure.
And we'll talk a little bit about your ancient aliens appearances, too.
Sure.
Let's go to Cornelius in Alexandria, Louisiana. Hello, Cornelius.
Hey, Jordan. Hey, God bless both of y'all and everything. I didn't know Tommy was going to start out with me. I was thinking I was way down the line. Look, just like
we tricked you sometimes,
George, is that synchronicity. I've watched you on Ancient Aliens. You're the only black fella I've seen on Ancient Aliens. I wish they would get more black, Ancient Alien authors or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad you're talking about your book tonight because I've been wanting to get it. I'm going to ask you this. Some of us don't have computers. As George knows, I always talk about this. Try to give out a phone number or address at the end of the program so we can get your information and stuff, or if it's at Books A Million or Barnes & Noble or Hastings or something like that. And this was my question.
Sure.
George has had the Four Blood Moon Prophecies on this weekend.
Yeah. Oh, I missed it. But
I wanted to ask you how you felt about that, and I'm going to ask you one more question, then I'm going to take my answers off the air. I happen to believe that God is good.
Yeah.
And that he's loving God. But see, at certain things, our bloodline's been contaminated by these fallen angels. So that's why he said to destroy those men, women, children, babies, and everything like that. So that's my feeling about that.
Gotcha.
And I know yours might be a little bit different, but God sees everything, whereas man or us, we just see half of, because they're invisible and invincible. And I've had a little demonology as far as something tried to come in my room and I believe tried to kill me. So I prayed in the blood of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, get off of me, and it disappeared. But I'll let you answer the questions. I'll get off the air. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
All right, Cornelius. Thanks. Go ahead, Michael.
Well, you actually bring up the one of the things that my colleague Barry does. Barry says, Michael, God's not going to be warm and fuzzy. And you are right. These beings contaminated, if you want to use that word, by creating hybrids, with four, six fingers and that kind of thing. I do still say this, that if, because you gave a lot of information, I believe in a good God. That's why I'm a universalist. I don't believe people burn in hell and get barbecued and all that kind of stuff. And I do think we need discernment in dealing with those beings. I don't know if that answers your question. That's really all I can say about that. There are, I remember just very quickly when I was working as a chaplain in a New York hospital, and I it was like an exorcist. I went to a woman, she was mentally deranged. She said she was having demon possession. This was like 90 degrees in New York City around all that concrete. I left the hospital. I went to her home. She opened her door. It was like a refrigerator. Okay, I mean, and I was scared to death.
Yeah.
And I said the Lord's Prayer, I said a couple times, I read the 23rd Psalm, and I got out. I was went way over my head. Now, I saw her a couple days later, she said it did help. So, yes, there are entities out there. We're not saying that there aren't. But I just don't want us to make I don't want us to stereotype, okay? I don't want us to just paint everybody with the same brush. And my number is 545-1806. It's 828-545-1806. You want to continue this at another time? I'm not sure I answered all of your question, but we can sure talk off the air after I get a couple hours sleep.
You're going to need that after we're done,
Michael. Oh, yeah, I got to be at the church tomorrow.
Hey, when you were on Ancient Aliens, you had mentioned the Ark of the Covenant being somewhat supernatural. Explain that.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what, George? Yeah, and I just want to say, we never got a chance to bump into. I bumped into Barry. I bumped into Mr. Childress, but I never got a chance to bump into you flying in and out.
We will. One day there's going to be a conference where we'll get together. As a matter of fact, producer Tom, who produces our Beyond Belief television show, has got you on the list to get you to Denver to tape a TV show with me. So we
will definitely
meet there.
I would love to. Listen, I just think it was a way to contact Yahweh, and supernatural, and that's a great word, because are miracles technological? And if they are technological, are they really not miracles? But I thought that, I think it was very clear that this device was used to contact Yahweh. Of course, you couldn't touch certain parts of it, because we have stories in the Bible where people were immediately shocked and killed. Of course, we have gold in it as a conduit. It had the Ten Commandments and the Ark of the Covenant, the great mystery of, do the Ethiopians have it, or is it in Israel? But I think it was a way that Yahweh, because he had to keep in contact with them. You know, they were his people now. And so this was a way for them to do it. I think it was a really, really excellent example of, again, this technology. I mean, people were dropping dead if they touched it, or the radiation, and they didn't know how to explain it. So they just said, well, you dropped dead because you made Yahweh angry.
Good point. Let's go to Roland in London, Kentucky, east of the Rockies. Hey, Roland, go ahead. Good to have you with us.
Well, listen, I'm a 66-year student of the Bible. I say student because there are no graduates, you know, and I think he'll agree with me on that. After I say a word or two, I've got a scripture I want you to answer for me.
Okay.
I'll tell you what. I'm almost 93. I'll be 93 in July. I've talked to George. And I've never seen a ghost. I've never seen an alien. I've never ever seen any of this stuff that people talk about and you talk about.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I mean, I must be missing something. But I'm just telling you the truth. You know what I mean?
And of course.
I'm almost 93 years old. Now here's a question I want to ask you about the Bible. I can quote it for you if you don't.
Well, I got five Bibles in front of me, but why don't you quote it?
Okay, it's Acts, the 17th chapter, the 26th verse.
Acts 17, 26. Okay, read it to me.
I'll memorize it to you. I don't have my Bible laying here on the bed.
Give us the highlights, Roland.
Do what?
Give us the highlights.
Okay.
You don't have to read the whole thing.
Okay, well,
Mr. Roland?
I got the scripture right in my mind.
Okay, because I have it too.
Go ahead, Michael. Go ahead.
I think he said, if it's 17:26, I think he says, and he made one from every nation of men to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their habitation, that they should seek God in the hope that they might feel after him and find him. Yet he is not far from each one of us. Is that it, Mr. Roland?
Well, he is gone now, so... His button is not ringing, but I'm sure that's it, if that's it.
Yeah. Well,
now,
I don't
what does
know
that
what
mean?
His question was.
But what does that mean, Michael?
Okay, I'm going to put it in context. This is Paul. Paul, of course, is starting Christianity. Jesus was not a Christian. He was a Jew. Paul starts the way, the vows of the way. And I think this is Paul talking to the Gentiles who were non-Jewish, uncircumcised, that kind of thing. And he is saying that God made from every nation of men to live all on the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of habitation. I look at that as saying that this is how long you will live. This is where you will live. And that you should seek me, and if you seek me in the hope, this is what it says, that they might feel after him and find him. So Paul is saying that there are boundaries and restrictions, that your life is not yours, that it is God. Now, people can use that verse and say, yes, there are allotted periods, and there are boundaries for your habitation, which I interpret as how long, you know, where you will live and what have you. You could use that verse to say, well, there are boundaries, and so you shouldn't intermingle. You should only stay here and live. You should only stay there and live. I mean, that verse can be looked at in many ways. And that's the beauty, but also the problem of interpretation of Scripture. But we know that if this God is love, this God is about unity. You can have unity in diversity. And so I believe, and that's worked for me for 57 summers, that this is what life is about, that Jesus came to show us, not the only one, he wasn't the only one, that you know, their boundaries, but eventually you go beyond those boundaries. You treat the Muslim as your brother and sister. You treat the Tea Party person. You treat the person of color, because you realize that when it's all said and done, religion is about boundaries, but Jesus says you go beyond those boundaries.
And that's what it's all about. Do you consider yourself more religious or more spiritual?
I consider myself more of a spiritual person. Sometimes they're the same things and sometimes they aren't. I mean, I consider myself a follower of the teachings of Jesus. Now, I look at Jesus as an example, not, you know, not the exception. And so the things that Jesus can do, I can do. I'm not talking about walking on water. I can move mountains of obstacles, of prejudice and mediocrity, those type mm-hmm. of things. But I'm looking at him as the great teacher because he says, greater things than I do, you can do. I also know that the kingdom of heaven is within. But yes, you come in my home, I have some Buddhas here. I have Cherokee in me, so I have a lot of Native American stuff. But I consider, now that may, being a follower of Jesus may not be Christian. Because, again, Jesus was a Jew, and they're Christians who I don't agree with. They're Christians who believe that I'm saved and you're not. I'm Tea Party and you're not. I'm separate and you're not. But I look at those teachings of Jesus as saying, how do I love that person? I'm not talking about kumbaya and let's all skip rope and whatever. I'm talking about how can I still respect that person who disagrees with me? How can I? You don't have to think alike to love alike. I think that's one of the messages of Jesus.
Let's go next to Giuseppe in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Giuseppe, good morning.
Good morning, sir. Very good to hear your show. I'm very interested.
Great.
I just wanted to say, like, I thought Judaism went back to Abraham, like 200 years or so before Noah or before Moses. But I just wanted to have something written down. Oh yeah. First off the bat, like, imagine if everybody followed the Ten Commandments, how simple life would be here on Earth. But, you know, we can't. So Jesus gave us the two, love your brother, you know, love God first, and then love your brother, treat everyone as you wish to be treated, you know, the golden rule. Mm-hmm. And how simple if everyone just did that, simply. But also, as you know, and a lot of Coast to Coast insiders, how the power of the mind, the human mind, you know, if everybody thinks one thing, like how we all thought about the rain in California, then also
days later,
it rained in California,
yes.
Which was, you know?
Yeah.
Also, like,
great point.
I feel that demon of the air, Satan, Lucifer, whoever he is, he knows how mass media now is. Everybody is so connected, and if something massive happens, sort of like an alien comes down, something like that, like the whole mass media, the whole world will know, and everybody will think like that'll be destruction to almost all religions and everything. Like, it'll almost destroy it all at the same time,
mm-hmm.
and then. I just feel like that's the power. And then also I want to say about how, like, all the drones that are flying, there's so many more sightings nowadays. I keep on hearing everybody saying, oh, there's sightings.
Oh, yeah.
UFOs. But how about all the drones that are flying around nowadays? I think that has something to do with it, too. I'm not sure. But I'll just take your answer off the line, and thank you very much. I appreciate it.
We'll answer it, Michael, when you come right back on Coast to Coast AM. So get ready. Hey, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, reaching another Facebook milestone. So go on up there and click the like. You'll find it in the corner at coasttocoastam.com. Welcome back with Michael J.S. Carter. Michael, so would you like to respond to his question? He is no longer with us. Go ahead.
Yes, thanks, George. I want to get to the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were originally like 113, and they really got kind of narrowed down. And you must remember, listen, I'm a proponent of those. Some people call them the 10 suggestions. It's just that, remember, those commandments were only for Jewish folk. You could go into someone else's land and you could take that. Remember, this is, Yahweh was very tribal, and this was a very tribal religion in the beginning. So you could do that to Jews. I mean, those were a code of how to deal with other Jewish people. You did not have to deal with the stranger that way, and you didn't. That's why Jesus talked about the Good Samaritan. Okay, Abraham was the father of three religions. All the major Abrahamic relations claim a direct lineage to Abraham. He was not a Jew. He was recorded in the Torah as the ancestor of the Israelites through his son Isaac, who was born to Sarah. Remember, she meets an angel through a promise made in Genesis. the sacred text of Christianity. That's the Christian Bible, the first part of which is the Old Testament. It's derived from the Hebrew Bible. And so he is considered the father of Christianity as well. Jesus comes along, however, and makes the new covenant. And in the Islamic tradition, Muhammad was an Arab, but he was descended from Abraham's son Ishmael. They used to be called the Ishmaelites. And so that's how he is the father of three religions. He is not Jewish. Some people refer to him as Semitic, which is an obscure term. Mind power, you talked about. I'm glad you brought that up. Yes, the power of the mind. We are godlike if we only use 10% of our brain, if that much. However, just as we can focus on rain or we can meditate and bring down crime in certain parts of our urban areas, and by urban I just don't mean African-American, but our cities, we can also use our minds to create. You know, a lot of people are saying Bible prophecy is happening. We're going to have Armageddon. This is going to happen. If we focus on that, because remember, metaphysics is what you focus on, you create. We can actually create apocalyptic moments. We can actually create World War III by the power of our mind, because we're all focusing on something fearful. So if we take that mind power and focus on things that we want to happen, peace, less scarcity or less belief in scarcity, more food, more water. Imagine what would happen if we focused on that instead of, well, everything is lining up and Jesus is going to come again and we're going to blow each other to smithereens. I hope I answered those questions.
Well done, Michael. Let's go to Joshua, Albuquerque, New Mexico. Joshua, go ahead.
Hi, guys. It's good to talk to you, George. I have two questions for your guests. The first one is, What if you're wrong? And I'm not talking about theological differences and
sure.
Minute details. They could be kind of just interpreted differently.
Yeah.
So I'm talking about like the main tenet of Christianity, that Jesus Christ is Lord and he needs to be made Lord of your life for you to have eternal life. And then I have a follow-up question after your answer.
Okay. You know what? I could be wrong. But I just don't believe that, because I don't believe the way someone says I believe, that a loving God is going to damn me to hell. I just don't believe that. And to me, it defies rationality. It defies what I feel in my heart. It defies my inner life or my spirit. It defies that. And so I'm willing to take a chance on being wrong. But I will say this to you, brother. To me, it doesn't matter what you believe. I know people who go to church every Wednesday night, the Bible study. They go to the mosque on Friday and to the temple. And they're the most hateful people I know. They're the most bigoted. They're the most short-sighted. It doesn't. To me, I'll know what you believe by how you treat me. I have atheist friends that have treated me and other people better than Christians, so-called Christians. So to me, I don't even get into that. So I hope that kind of ends. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But to me, it's about how do I interact with my fellow human beings? How do I love? How do I forgive? Like the Dalai Lama says, he says that happiness is his religion. And this is a tradition that was 500 years before Jesus. And surely, I don't think that he's going to burn in hell because he doesn't believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is one of the ways in the truth and the life. He's not the only way. So your next question.
Well, for my follow-up question, the follow-up question is really, why wouldn't you take the Bible literally then and live as Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And go through life in a servitude attitude and love people as best you can. And I know a lot of Christians are bigots and hypocrites and like that. But if you did that, why wouldn't knowing when you died you lived a good life? And if you were wrong, I mean, taking the Bible literally, how can that be a downside?
It's not a downside. It's just not right for me. See, I find that people who are sure of what they believe in, they don't have to convert other people. Matthew 28 is an addendum, okay? We don't know if Jesus really said half the things that are in the Bible, but we also don't, you know, that it's not about the people who crucified him were saying, you were not Jewish enough. You are an enemy of Rome. Okay, so it's the same thing for people like me. I'm not Christian enough. I'm an, you know, so the point I'm trying to make is, what difference is it to me how I live my life as long as I'm loving people, as long as I'm trying to love people? I don't worry about that, because whatever's going to be at the end of my life, I'll be able to look back and say, you know what, I kept my part of the garden a little better than it was than when I found it. So to me, it doesn't matter whether I live. The Bible, I can't, you know, there are things in the Bible that I find heinous. I don't like to hear Yahweh say, throw babies up against a stone in the book of Ezekiel. I don't like that kind of thing. But I'm not saying that you should do that. I'm saying that if you take the Bible literally, and if it makes you a more loving, accepting, a holistic person, then that works for you. Maybe I found a different way. We don't have to think alike to love alike. We don't have to agree. But if I see you broken down on the side of the road, I'll stop my car. I'm not going to say, well, there's a literalist. Let me keep driving. I'm going to get out and I'm going to help you. It's about how I live my life, not about what I believe. Hopefully my beliefs will match how I live. But, you know, I'm 57 years old, brother. I just don't get into the dogma and the doctrine. I don't throw it away. My parents are good Christian people. They lived during American apartheid, and they believe that Jesus is going to come again and judge the quick and the dead. And that makes they're good people. That just doesn't work for me. I had to find my own religion. I had to find my own way of life. And I just wish you peace and richest blessings.
Let's go to Sue Ann.
Questions.
You're very welcome. Newburgh, Indiana. Hi, Sue Ann. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Sue Ann.
Hi, Sue Ann.
I can't tell you how much I emotionally and spiritually have been up dancing around all over my bedroom for what you all have been saying.
You change people's lives.
So do you.
No, you haven't changed my life.
Oh, sorry.
You have helped affirm.
That's even better.
I have always believed since I was 4 years old, and you had made mention further back in your program earlier this evening that, you know, we're not made of any alien DNA. And
did I say that? I didn't say that.
Yeah, something similar to that. But anyway, I wanted to let you know. Just
I think we do that.
So you can, George can talk about it,
mm-hmm.
But on his program last week was a scientist who has been working as a consultant to a lab
mm-hmm.
who is searching for the helix DNA
yes.
part that is alien,
yeah.
that is not human, and they found it. They found a whole segment of it.
Well, I want to say this, ma'am. I don't recall. I actually do believe that we're all made of star stuff, that our ancestry does come from the stars. So maybe there was a miscommunique, or I know someone came on and said something about the blood and what have you, but I happen to agree with you that we are made of star stuff and that we do have alien DNA.
You know, some people think that there's going to be a false flag, Michael, that governments, Illuminati types, will try to use a false alien invasion
yes.
to control us, scare the heck out of us. What
yes.
do you think of that?
I think it has great merit, and that's why I was saying earlier, let's watch the Vatican. In Dr. Greer's book, Disclosure, one of the people he talks to, I don't have time to thumb through it now, even though it's right in front of me, it says that had been planned, that they could do it with a hologram, and that it would bring people into the fold of a one world government, of a one world kind of religion, if you will, which we could debate that may not necessarily be a bad thing if people had the freedom to really believe what they needed to believe and what that would look like. But I think that's what brings the red flag and yellow flag to me, because the Vatican is in on this. Catholicism's been having its problems for a millennium. People are leaving that church. And wouldn't this just be what they needed? See, I told you so. Jesus has come down, or this alien has come down. It has endorsed us. I think it would be very, because I tell you, if that happened, George, let's say that really happened, your show, what I'm thinking, and what have you, we'd have to go underground. Because
yeah,
you're not talking about the party line here, let's be honest.
They haven't gotten us yet, but you never know.
You never know. I mean, I think we need to really look out for that kind of thing. It sure would speed things up for this new world order that people are saying that they want us to have. You know, who's going to argue? People wouldn't know if it was a hologram or not.
Let's go next to Greg in New Mexico. Thanks for holding so long. Greg, go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it very much.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you, before I forget, I've been wanting to ask you this for a long time. You had a show back in 2001 or two. I don't know if it was Art Bell or yourself talking about demineralization of the human race.
We have talked about that. About that.
Yeah, maybe in the future day you might have an update on it. But
okay.
Actually, I was thinking about, in view of the fact of all the radiation, the changing of DNA, chromosomes, and all that. I want to ask Mr. Carter his opinion on the scripture part, because you're both knowledgeable of scripture, which is great. On the part where the return of Christ is evident because of no flesh, if not no flesh would be saved. What is your opinion on that?
Again, I think I probably hit. I don't particularly believe that, and so. That's just my opinion on it. I don't know if that's something that Jesus actually said. Again, we've been talking about the plurality and diversity of beliefs. I mean, people say that that Jesus is going to come back and save us. I don't know if that's true. That's a more of a theological question, because basically what I hear in that question is, if you don't believe in Jesus and he comes back, then you're not going to be saved. I just don't know. I don't believe that personally, so we'll see what happens. As the guy before me said, what if I'm wrong? Well, then I'm willing to risk that.
Let's go to first-time caller Charles in Wenatchee, Washington. Charles, thank you. Go ahead.
Hey, George. Thanks. I'm so excited to be on.
Super.
I'm a late night school custodian, so I listen to you just about every night.
Wow.
But I'm also a history teacher. I substitute teach, and I've been involved in a lot of religious studies and my interest in ancient history and ancient civilizations. And I find your guest, Mr. Carter, a great eclectic view. I've just really have enjoyed listening to the many aspects that he's talked about.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
And I think it ties together a lot of, you know, this last week you've had guests talking about Noah and the flood and angels, mm-hmm. possession, quantum physics and all that. So my question to him, there was an ancient book called the Book of Jasher.
Yes, I have it right here.
You have the Book of Jasher?
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. I have to admit, I haven't read all through it, but yes, it's a suppressed book that was removed from the Bible, and it refers to Joshua and 2 Samuel.
Yes. Well, you know, the Internet allowed me to finally find this book, and what it helped me understand was it talked about how the angels or the messengers or sons of God came down, cohabited with women,
yes.
created almost three levels of hybrid race.
Yes.
And so, to me, that answers a lot of questions about the flood, angels, possessions, demons, giants that were on the earth.
Yes.
At least it helps explain a lot. But I was wondering, have you, does that tie in with your works?
It does. It does. And no, it's a great book, and I'm glad you brought it up. And I know we're running out of time, so I'll make this really brief.
Yeah, well, a couple minutes to go, Michael.
Okay. The Book of Jasher. Yes, I'll tell you another book to look at. Obviously, the Book of Enoch, because they go into more detail about Genesis 6. The sons of God saw the daughters of man and that they were fair. The other book you want to look at is the Apocryphal Old Testament, the Book of Jubilees. It's worth it. You can get it for maybe 10, 12 bucks on Amazon. It goes into great depth. It's got books that were taken out of the Bible. They talk about the Watchers. They talk about how long Adam lived and what he told Seth about the Watchers. It goes into great depth. And this is why these books were taken out because the information was just too much. It talks about, as the Book of Enoch does, about the technology. We were taught astronomy. We were taught how to make weapons. We were taught astrology. Those are not necessarily bad things. The technological part of it, we took the weapons and we made war. We're still doing that today. Michael Sala argues, and I kind of agree with him, that we've changed and we haven't changed. We took weapons of war and copper and steel, and we made weapons. Well, we do that today with all the drones and with all this technology. We buy a drone, and we'll use the drone instead of looking for ways to work with zero-point energy and getting rid of fossil fuels and coal. So, again, the Book of Jasher, pick up the Book of Enoch, and pick up the Book of Jubilees. It's well worth it. And thank you for bringing that up.
All right, Michael, let's tell folks where they can get your book and how do they track you on the web.
Okay, my website is michaeljscarter.com. I gave some of you, it's a cell. You can use that. Just don't abuse it. michaeljscarter.com. You can pick up my book at Amazon. Hard copies like $9.89. The Kindle is $4.99. Same thing on Barnes & Noble.
Michael, I want to thank you for being a great guest. Let's keep in touch with each other, and definitely we'll get a hold of you for the Beyond Belief television show
as
well.
Yeah, please do that, George. I'd love to work with you, and I'll call Lisa, and we'll talk to you, get to you.
Yeah, call, Tommy will be in touch with you, too.
Okay.
All right, thanks, Michael.
Have a great evening.
Michael J.S. Carter, his book, Alien Scriptures, it's a great read, and it's fascinating. Subtitle, Extraterrestrials and the Holy Bible. On our next Coast to Coast program, another special split show, and you're going to love those topics. So just go to our website, coasttocoastam.com. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Lottasour, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, George Knapp, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.